Checky check, check, 1, 2, checky check, mic check. Alright, we're back. This is Stating the Obvious 227. This is part 2 in a 3-part series. If you have not listened to Stating the Obvious 226 prior to this, stop, go back, listen to it. Otherwise, you're coming in the middle of the conversation. You're not going to really know what the fuck is going on, because we're just going to pick up more or less where we left off. Save time. Get through this. Make Randy happy so that this doesn't go into 4 parts, because she's allowing me to do a 3-part series today. If we go into 4 parts, she's going to beat my ass, because she has shit to do. You can scream and shout with all your might. Shit to do, that is, other than hang out around here at the studio and put up with my bullshit. Dig in your heels and hold on tight. I know, what's this shit? What do you think, you have a life or something, other than hanging out with me? The way it is. You're wrong, I'm right, Cynical Libertarian Society, I'm the great one, fuck you, fuck your feelings, I'm right, I'm always right, I've never been wrong, and why am I never wrong? Simple, because I just don't open my mouth if I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Oh, and also because I'm not a stupid fucking statist. Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. This right here that you're listening to, Stating the Obvious podcast, the weapons platform from which I launched the cruise missile of my intellect that homes in on to destroy stupid motherfuckers all around the world. Blah, 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 blah. All right, good. God, dog spelled backwards, God at CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. And Twitterverse, CYNLIBSOC on the Twitterverse. Do it on the Twitterverse. Do it on the Twitterverse. I said, do it. Yeah. Hey, Beavis, we're totally going to score. Yeah. Hey, baby. Come to Butthead. You know, the thing is, I would walk up to girls and be like, hey, baby, come to Butthead. Except none of them would get it. I'm not attracted to old women. And so, like, none of the younger girls that I've talked to that are in the age range of women I am attracted to, none of them know what Beavis and Butthead is. So none of them would get the joke. There's no point. They would just look at me like I'm a fucking idiot, which is actually what they do anyway. Just look at me like I'm a fucking idiot. Okay. All right. Now I have a cup of hot tea. Mmm. Oh, that's good. And I have my notes somewhere. The fuck was that? Alright, hang on. What? Yes! Alright, I'm focusing. Alright. Let's get back to the book. We're doing book discussion about the book Against Football by Steve Almond, who has a really small penis, but a penis obsession. Okay, where are we? Page 47, I did that. And yep, I'm good with that. All right, moving on. Page 61. Backing a team helps Americans, in particular, contend with the unease of living in the most competitive society on earth. A society in which we're socialized to feel like losers. Okay. Again, remember, we're talking about football. We may as well be talking about politics. Let me read these sentences again. Just change a couple of words. Backing a political party helps Americans, in particular, contend with the unease of living in the most spoiled society on earth, a society in which we are socialized to feel like victims. I'm going back now to reading the paragraph the way it's actually written, because you might think I'm still changing words, but I'm not. That's the special sauce that capitalism puts on burgers. It's how you turn citizens into efficient workers and consumers. You convince them that they are forever falling behind, losing time, losing money, losing status, losing hair, losing potency. That's another penis reference. I told this guy's penis obsessed. Losing the edge. We feel that we're all losing all the time simply by failing to win it all. We squandered our talents, we mismanaged the clock, we choke in the clutch. Our teams enact public dramas that we experience as struggles to transcend our own private defects. Let me read this paragraph again and change a couple of words for you. Backing a political party helps Americans in particular contend with the unease of living in the most spoiled society on earth. A society in which we're socialized to feel like victims. That's the special sauce that statism puts on the burgers. It's how you turn citizens into efficient workers and consumers. You convince them that they are forever being victimized. Their time is stolen from them. Their money is stolen from them. Their status is stolen. Stolen hair. Stolen potency. Stolen the edge. We feel that we're all having everything stolen from us all the time, simply because rich people exist. We squander all of our talents, mismanage, blah, blah, blah. And our political parties enact public dramas that we experience as struggles to transcend our own private defects. Again, he's right in the sense that he has identified that the rabid obsession and identification people have with football teams. Again, I give you Denver Broncos fans. Is a way for people to cope with their inadequacies. He's right about that. These inadequacies, however, are not caused by capitalism. These inadequacies are caused by the state. Likewise, the statist, to include Steve Almond, have this same rabid devotion and identification with political parties. At least one good thing you see about the NFL is you have more choices than just two. With political parties, you essentially have the Republicans and the Democrats. But for Steve Almond, his association and his allegiance to and his devotion to Hussein Obama is just as much a way of him coping with the unease of living the spoiled life he's living compared to the rest of the world. Just as identifying with the Broncos is a way for a lot of people who are in life just complete fucking losers, it's a way for them to feel like they have a purpose. And they're not losers because of capitalism. They're losers because they're losers. They're losers because they want to be victims. They are victims because they are victimized by everything that happens around them because they can't control their own destinies. They can't think for themselves. They can't change their responses to the world. They can't make changes in the world around them. They are passive. They stand there and wait for things to happen to them instead of making things happen. They are femistatist. Page 63. Here we go. Ah, yes. Here is the one passage in which Steve confesses his loserism. Steve is writing about himself here. A saner human would have jumped ship years ago. Instead, I am that one sad asshole who quietly roots against the Patriots every time they have a big playoff game. Games, incidentally, that I often have to plead to watch at the homes of my friends who hate having me there. But I am not a saner human being, which is why I have watched the highlights of the Patriots losing their perfect 18-0 season to the Giants in Super Bowl XLII no fewer than 20 times. Now, his entire book is about the evils of football, and yet he loves watching football. And here he's saying that he has to go to his friend's house to watch the... So he watches the Patriots because the Patriots beat the Raiders. He's a Raiders fan. Apparently, I guess the Patriots beat the Raiders or some shit. I don't know because, you know, I'm not... I'm just going to say it and offend people. I'm not gay, so I don't really keep up with football, which is a bunch of guys in tight pants touching each other on the butt. And I don't have a small penis, and I don't have penis issues like Steve Allman does. But anyhow, apparently, I guess the Patriots beat the Raiders, and Steve Allman is butthurt about this, and so he likes seeing the Patriots lose. So this is a fucking loser who has watched the highlights of the Patriots losing no fewer than 20 times. Whoa. Talk about some compensation. Talk about some excessive amounts of free time. All right, I suppose I have watched Casablanca a lot more than 20 times. I've watched Alien more than 20 times. I've jacked off more than 20 times today. All right, so maybe in some ways I have a little excess of free time also. But again, his whole rant here is about how evil football is, and yet he himself is this obsessed with it. Physician, heal thyself. Okay, this is... I mean, if you personally can't move beyond this, I really don't think you need to be lecturing other people on how to move beyond football. But we'll find out more about that later. Okay, let me move on. 68. Page 68. So here he tells a story about some kids. They're on the football. Let's see, Sean and blah, blah, blah. And they're playing football. I'm trying to find out. Let's see. Yep, when he was 11 years old. So this was high school football. And there's a story here, the high school football, and the one kid hit another kid really hard, and the kid went down and didn't get back up. Here's the concluding paragraph of this story. The running back did not wind up paralyzed. That's not the point of the story. It was tremendous anguish Sean felt over his power. It was the tremendous anguish Sean felt over his power to harm another boy and to be revered for this power, a burden heavy enough to make him walk away despite his love of the game and his natural gifts. Now, first of all, the kids playing football chose to put themselves in this danger. Now you can say they're kids and they're not smart enough to make their own decisions. There's some validity to all of that. But Sean, who hit this other football player hard and knocked him down and kept him on, and this other kid stayed on the ground. You know, one thing you can say for football players is they're all in danger. Unlike, let's see. Randy, how far are we into the cast? I've gone 14 minutes without saying this. Unlike, say for example, Hussein Obama, who doesn't just tackle other human beings, who actually murders other human beings without actually putting himself in danger. So why is it that Steve Allman, other than the small penis, is demonizing football players for injuring other football players? I mean, at least the football players themselves are putting themselves at risk as well as injuring other people, while of course Steve Allman worships and don't fucking argue with me. He worships, we will get to that, it's later in the book. He worships Hussein Obama, who doesn't just occasionally injure other people, who deliberately murders other humans without having the ball sack necessary to put himself in the line of danger. Page 71. This is a long passage. I don't know what it's about yet. I'll tell you in a second. Oh, God. More attacks on capitalism. Okay, hold on. This is great. I just need to scout ahead real quick because I'm claiming I'm going to read like 4 pages worth of shit here. Okay. So, blah, blah, blah. Where did I want to start with this? Oh, my God. Okay, here we go. Here we go, boys and girls. Brace yourselves. This man who's written a book and is getting paid for it, thanks to capitalism, is now going to go on a rampant attack of capitalism in the NFL because, God forbid, the NFL make any profits. Again, why is the NFL making the obscene profits they're making? Oh, because they're a non-profit. Who gave them non-profit status? The government. Where'd the government come from? It was elected by the voters. That's democracy. Why does the NFL play in stadiums that they didn't have to pay money for? Oh, because the stadiums were built by the politicians who took money away from the taxpayers. Where'd the politicians come from? Oh, the voters. That's democracy. Right? The source problem of all of this stuff is not, where does money come from? Who prints money? Last time I checked, all the money is printed by the government. Since you can't have capitalism without money, and money comes from the government, where does government come from? Oh, that's right. Democracy! Again, let me emphasize, Steve Almond, in spite of his small penis and his penis obsession and his worship of Hussein Obama, he identifies legitimate problems. That's why I recommend, that's why I do recommend you read this book if you're even remotely interested in the politics and economics of football and football culture. He identifies legitimate problems, but because he's so fucking statist and stupid, he has no ability at all, none, to identify the cause of the problem or the solutions. I mean, speaking of football, so here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, Colorado State University is going to build a new football stadium. It's going to be used, they actually put some numbers, I don't remember the numbers, this was in the newspaper a while ago, but it's only going to be used something like 8 times a year. There is something where they made a deal with the city, like for the first year, there would be 8 games in it, and for like the next year, then there's supposed to be like 12 football games or 12 events or whatever. But anyhow, there apparently some kind of deal was cut, democracy, with the local government, democracy, some kind of deal was cut where the stadium would only be used a certain number of times per year. Now here's the thing, you're going to build a football stadium. It's not going to be as big as whatever fucking football stadiums exist out there. I don't know because I don't care. But like the football stadiums that say the Broncos or the Patriots or the Green Bay Packers play in, those stadiums are probably significantly bigger than this one's going to be, I'm sure. And they cost more money than this one, I'm sure. But this football stadium's going to cost a pretty big chunk of money. And let's say you have 12 football games there a year. You're not going to sell enough tickets and concessions to pay for the stadium on 12 football games a year. It's again, this is called math. It doesn't matter about your fucking feelings. It doesn't matter about your how you gender identify. It doesn't matter what skin color you are. It's math. Math doesn't give a fuck. Okay? Math tells us that you're not going to pay for the construction of a brand new football stadium with the revenues generated from playing 12 football games a year, selling tickets and selling concessions. Where is the rest of that money going to come from? It's going to come from the taxpayers. It's going to come primarily from people who pay taxes. It's going to come primarily from heterosexual white men who work for a living. Yeah, there's some heterosexual women in there too, who work for a living. Then there's some gay men and some gay women, and they work for a living. And there's some minorities who work for a living. But none of the welfare recipients are going to pay for that. None of the college students are going to pay for that. None of the fucking old people on retirement are going to pay for that. Actually, we're all going to pay for that because, again, math doesn't give a fuck. We're all going to pay for that because of inflation, because of borrowing, because of printing money, because of all the stuff that those of you who know anything about economics know, and I don't have to go into it. Go watch Aaron Cleary's videos about economics. We're all going to pay for it. Everyone in society is going to pay for it. But this is all happening because democracy. City of Fort Collins, democratically elected. The Colorado State University is a state-run university. The government of the state, democratically elected. All of this is happening not because of capitalism. This is all happening because of democracy. Okay, here we go. Let's read. This tea is really good. This is the raspberry. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Yes. I'll stop fucking stalling and read. You love me and you know it. Quiet, Randy. Shush. Hey, you just stay in there and do sound engineering shit, woman. All the feminists out there are getting all offended now. Alright. Okay, focus. Here we go. But just as a thought experiment, let's pretend the NFL really were Marxist. You mean, let's pretend the NFL really was Marxist? Marxist? Okay, here's what that would mean. First, there would be no private ownership and therefore no team owners. The teams, though they would represent different cities, would belong to the state. Now, he understands the concept of the state because the state is capitalized. He understands what the state is. Employees would be paid according to the Marxist edict. You know, like they were in the Soviet Union. From each according to his ability, to each according to his need. A top quarterback such as Peyton Manning would not be paid $18 million every season. He would be paid based on his needs. Let's say $100,000 per year. The worker who laundered his jock strap or the custodian who mopped the floors of his locker room might be paid just as much as Peyton Manning, perhaps more if they had greater needs, say a lot of children or sick parents. And here we see how communism is linked to welfare. Oh, you have a bunch of children, so you need more money. No. If you don't have enough money to raise children, don't have any children. Do you see again how statism circumvents evolution, circumvents natural selection? In a capitalist society, in a true, actual capitalist environment, in a market environment, people who don't have money to have children wouldn't just get more money magically given to them by the state. they would have to fucking suffer and not make a bunch of kids they can't afford to pay. And therefore, the people who reproduce would be the smart people who can make money, not, as it is in our society right now, the dumb people who all they know how to do is fill out the paperwork so they can get more welfare so they can spit out more babies. And of course, it's interesting because he makes the assertion that if the NFL were in fact Marxist, there would be no private ownership. But then he talks about Peyton Manning, and he talks about the worker who laundered his jockstrap. His jockstrap implies ownership of the jockstrap by Peyton Manning. Well, that's not Marxist, right? I mean, if it's Marxist, then Peyton Manning would not own his jockstrap. Or the custodian who mops the floors of his locker room, as if Peyton Manning owns the locker room, right? So that's not very Marxist there, Mr. Almond. You might want to get your small penis of shit together. Okay. Star athletes could still ostensibly earn huge sums in endorsement deals from private industry, though the league would have to decide whether these payments violated its Marxist tenets. Commissioner Goodell would not receive a compensation package of $42.2 million as he did in 2012, nor would his deputies earn millions. Again, let me point out that that 42, well, I shouldn't actually say that. The commissioner got that $42.2 million because you dumbasses keep watching football, you keep buying the tickets, you keep buying the You keep electing the politicians that give them the tax-exempt status, yada, yada, yada. Again, let me just repeat myself. The problem here is not capitalism. Capitalism did not give tax breaks and subsidies to the NFL. Politicians did that. People, individual, specific people who were elected by the voters via democracy, gave those tax breaks, gave those subsidies, granted that tax-exempt status. Capitalism is not a person, and capitalism does not do things. Right? Capitalism cannot go in the bathroom and flush the toilet. Capitalism is not capable of doing that. People. A person can go in there and flush the toilet. Capitalism cannot do that. All of these things were brought about by people acting under statist delusions. Now, you can make a counterpoint. Well, no, there are people acting under capitalist delusions. No. It's statist delusions. Trust me on this. All right, let me keep reading, because I don't want to deviate too far right now, because there's a lot to read. In fact, one of the most fascinating questions that arises from a truly Marxist NFL would be the question of what to do with the staggering profits, which would no longer be divvied up by a cabal of generic geriatric magnates. I don't know what this word is. Or funneled to, in other words, old white people, or funneled to a pack of vainglorious athletes. We can safely assume that its operating cost would be a fraction of the nearly $10 billion the NFL is projected to earn this season. That's billion with a B. The balance, $9.5 billion, would be available for redistribution to societal needs such as early education, medical and renewable energy research, intervention for at-risk populations. Fans would be in the strange position of justifying their support for pro football by pointing to all these good works. Again, when we see these statist tendencies, yes, let's take the profits that this company is making and redistribute them for things we think they should be redistributed for. Well, no, the entity that makes the profit should be determining where the profit goes. Again, does the NFL make more profit than it should because of tax subsidies and tax breaks and nonprofits? That, yeah, absolutely. Again, he has identified a legitimate problem. But his solution is the usual stupidity. A Marxist NFL in which salaries were no longer grossly inflated by our blessed free market. Again, the free market is not inflating the salaries, okay? When the fucking government gives the NFL a tax write-off or a fucking subsidy, that is not the free market. Again, you fucking moron statist with your fucking small penises. You don't fucking understand what you're talking about, okay? Too big to fail is not the free market. Tax write-offs is not the free market. Taking money away from taxpayers and giving it to corporations like the NFL is not the fucking free market. That is statism, you stupid fucking small penis cocksucker. That is democracy. That is an elected government doing the will of the people. That is statism. It is not the free market, you dumb fucking cocksucker. Bailing out banking corporations, not the free market. Bailing out the automobile corporations, not the free market. Giving Coca-Cola huge amounts of money so they could fucking advertise in China, as the government did many years ago. I talked about this years ago. That's not the free market. Telling the NFL they're a tax-exempt nonprofit corporation, don't have to pay taxes, that's not the free market, okay? That is all the actions of the state. That is the actions of people who were elected by other people. That is not the free market, you dumb motherfucker. Players could choose to join clubs in the cities or states where they actually grew up, with obscene economic incentives removed. You mean like the obscene economic incentives for the military-industrial complex? He doesn't have much of a problem with the military-industrial complex, I notice. Okay. With the obscene economic incentives removed, players and fans might experience the sport as a pure form of meritocracy. As with the NCAA basketball tournament, competition would hinge on team and regional pride rather than individual earning power. There would be no more parasitic entourages or predatory agents. Almost certainly, athletes would make more sensible decisions regarding their own health. Do I realize that this will never ever happen? God, I can't read. Take two. Do I realize this will never ever happen? That lawyers would descend from their penthouses to sue the bejesus out of all parties? That the players themselves would flee the NFL in droves to join for-profit leagues or form their own? That Rush Limbaugh's head would explode as he tried to process the concept of a socially conscious blood sport? Yes, which is my point. The NFL is the opposite of Marxist. It is the epitome of crony capitalism. Now, is it crony capitalism? Well, yes. For one time, he's actually used the correct word. It's not capitalism. It's not free market. It is crony capitalism. The NFL is an alliance between the government and the corporation. The NFL is a corporation. I don't give a fuck. You call it a non-profit. You can talk about how the teams are individually owned. Suck a dick, okay? Suck a big fucking dick. You can't suck Steve Allman's dick because his dick is tiny, but you can suck my dick because it's big, okay? The NFL is a corporation. I've talked about this before. Rooting for the Broncos to beat the Patriots is like rooting for Coca-Cola to sell more product than Pepsi. You're rooting for corporations, okay? So yes, it is crony capitalism. He actually used the right word for one fucking time in this book. He fucking managed to get something right. He's still an idiot, though, as we will find as we read more. The NFL is the opposite of Marxist. It is the actually, it's not, because some of the, like, I think it's the TV sales profits are all split evenly between the teams, so even the teams that suck get the same amount of money. And then, of course, what time is it? Great, thanks. And then, of course, where are we? Okay, great, thanks. Like, you read my mind there. You knew what was coming next. That was awesome. And of course, it's Marxist in the sense that to each according to his needs, when they do the draft, the shittiest teams get to choose first. And it's Marxist in the sense that they're all in it together. As I've talked about before, the winner of every Super Bowl is predetermined. Okay, anyway. The NFL is the opposite of Marxist. It is the epitome of crony capitalism, a corporate oligarchy that has absorbed or crushed all potential competitors, which it has, that's true, that routinely extorts municipal and state governments. Yes, yes it does, and openly flouts its tax obligations while remaining, in the words of The Atlantic's Greg Easterbrook, quote, walled off behind a moat of antitrust exemptions, unquote. Yes, yes it does. And it's able to do all of these things because the government, elected by the voters, headed up by Hussein Obama, your messiah, allows it to do these things. Isn't it amazing? Hussein Obama has the technology to murder people in foreign countries with flying robots because they're going to a wedding. But, gosh, he can't do anything about the NFL being tax exempt. He's just powerless about that. There's just nothing he can do. He doesn't want to do anything about it. Nobody's forcing local governments to give the NFL buckets and buckets of money to build stadiums. Local governments are doing that because they want to. And they were elected by the sheep. The league's players are among the most specialized employees on Earth. Every aspect of their job performance is filmed, analyzed, measured, and submitted to public scrutiny. Minute differences in efficiency translate into mind-boggling pay discrepancies. It is this ruthless workplace that compels so many players to play through the pain, shoot up steroids, etc. And agreed, he identifies a legitimate problem. Yeah, the players play through the pain, they do all the drugs, they do the painkillers and all this other stuff so they don't feel it. Because, yeah, in the NFL, right, I mean, if you're a starter and you fucking miss a game, you're likely to lose your position, possibly lose your job, take a pay cut, whatever. Because the NFL, the owners of the teams, the coaches, everything, they constantly push performance at every single moment without letting up. And I know it's a generalization, and there may be coaches out there and owners that don't feel that way, and I don't fucking intimately know every NFL team to say that. But for the most part, that seems to be what's going on. Again, I agree with him, this is a problem. But this problem is not caused by capitalism. This problem is caused by the owners of the teams, number one, being assholes, the coaches being assholes. It also occurs because they don't have to face any consequences of this, because of course they're protected from the consequences. I don't know the legal ramifications. I'm pretty sure, though, that an individual player cannot sue a coach So if a coach tells a player, I want you, yes, you just got hit in the head, you might have a concussion, I don't care, go back out there and play. If the player goes out there and plays and gets another concussion and gets brain damage, I'm willing to bet there's some legal shit in all the stuff the football players sign and in all the protections for the football teams. And I'm sure there's plenty of things there to prevent any coach or team owner from being held accountable for what happens to their players, who are essentially their employees. And again, this didn't happen because of capitalism. All of those legal protections exist thanks to the government, not capitalism. Much is made of the communal virtues imparted by football: sportsmanship, teamwork, self-sacrifice. But a genuine Marxist would note that those qualities are placed in the service of contests whose outcomes are irrelevant to the fate of the worker. Excuse me. Football is the ultimate bourgeois indulgence. Its civic function is to distract the proletariat from the aims of the revolution and to serve as a means of indoctrination into thought systems that are individualistic and materialist. Boy, does that sound like the state. We're going to distract people from reality and indoctrinate them into thought systems that are collectivist and victimizing? Think about it, folks. Last season, the Minnesota Vikings paid a man named Jared Allen more than $1 million per game to maul opposing quarterbacks. The market, meaning us, the fans, again, he got something right. Yes, you, fucking scumbags like you, who are the fans of football, you paid for this, you asked for this, you wanted this, don't hate the player, hate the game. Okay, the NFL is giving you what you want. That's called democracy. Now, to an extent, it's also the market, yes, but is not a market in the sense that, again, once the NFL receives all these subsidies from the government taken by force, again, if the NFL was doing what it was doing only with the revenues it could make by actually selling tickets and merchandise, that would be different. But of course, the NFL has these obnoxious sums of money because of I'm just saying the same thing over and over and over. The NFL has the obnoxious amount of money to pay this guy $1 million per game because the NFL and the individual teams and team owners get all these tax breaks and all of these subsidies and all of these bonds and all of these free stadiums and all of this other shit. And all of that stuff flows from the government, which is elected by democracy. The problem is not capitalism. If the NFL had to pay their players based on what they could make by selling tickets, selling beer, selling popcorn, and selling the TV rights, you wouldn't have this problem. The market, meaning us, the fans, has determined that Allen's value is roughly $18.5 million per year. State of Minnesota, here we go. The state of Minnesota pays an elementary school teacher an average of $38,000 per year. Paramedics make $42,000, cops $28,000. That makes one quarterback mauler worth 474 elementary school teachers or 440 paramedics or 661 police officers. Let us pause in astonishment and torment. So first of all, the elementary school teachers are worth a lot less than that. So are the police officers. The police officers just mostly murder innocent people and collect money for the state. The paramedics are the only people on this worth of shit. But yes, yeah, you as a voter, you as a statist, you as a person who can decide what you spend your money on, you have decided that this one guy is worth that much money. Yeah, you've made that decision. It's not capitalism. Capitalism doesn't make decisions. Capitalism does not have consciousness. You do. You also have a small dick. Okay, what's this? Page 74 to page 75. Got it. Here's the totally nutso part. The Vikings' ownership actually underperformed. Based on research done by Judith Grant Long, a professor of urban planning at Harvard, the taxpayers provide 70%. Where have you heard this before? Taxpayers provide money. Where have you heard this before? Here we go. Taxpayers. Where have you heard this before? Taxpayers provide 70% of the capital cost of NFL stadiums, as well as footing the bill for power, sewer services, other infrastructure, and stadium improvements. Where have you heard this before? Again, this is not a problem that comes from capitalism or free markets. This is a problem that comes from the government taking the money from the taxpayers, giving it to the NFL. The government comes from democracy. The perfect example, 7 of every $10 spent to build CenturyLink Field in Seattle came from the taxpayers of Washington State, $390 million total. The owner, Paul Allen, pays the state $1 million per year in rent and collects most of the $200 million generated. Again, that's not capitalism. Capitalism has nothing to do with that. So the stadium generates $200 million. That's because people who are statist go there and buy $200 million worth of stuff. The owner, Paul Allen, then pays $1 million of rent each year. That's because the owner, the people who... Okay, whoa. Let me back that up a second. That he pays $1 million a year for rent to the stadium. Well, who controls, who decides what the rent for the stadium will be? Well, the local politicians do. Where did the local politicians come from? Why am I repeating myself over and over and over? The local politicians were elected by the statist population who pays $200 million a year for services at the stadium. Capitalism, nowhere in sight. If capitalism were in sight, so just as Steve Almond wrote about, what would a Marxist NFL look like? What would a capitalist market-based NFL look like? Well, first of all, if you wanted a stadium to play in, then the owner of the team would have to build his own fucking stadium with his own money. Let's start right there. Then, if the owner of the team was not able to sell enough tickets, sell enough merchandise, sell enough services at the stadium to keep it open, it would close. And the owner of the stadium, in a market situation, would have to pay his own fucking electric and his own fucking sewer and his own fucking trash disposal. That's what capitalism, that's what a market-based NFL would look like. Okay, the NFL we see today, that is a statist-based NFL. That is a fascist NFL. That is a joining, a conglomeration of, a union of the government, democratically elected by the voters, and the corporation known as the NFL. That is not capitalism or market. Capitalism and market, nowhere in sight with the NFL. I know that fucking small-penised cocksuckers like Steve Allman, who worship Hussein Obama, think it is, but it's not. There's no fucking capitalism to be found here. Page 76. The fuck am I supposed to talk about on page 76? 76 to 77. This is kind of long. Randy, how am I on time? That's what I was afraid of. Okay, I know. This has to keep down to three parts. You're going to kill me. It might be four parts. No, don't kill. All right, look, we're going long on this one. Oh, football joke, we're going long. Get it? Ah! Oh, penis joke, we're going long. Get it? Oh, damn. All right, hang on. All right, that was me getting my shit together. Okay, we are going to go long. I'm going to wrap this up, and then all right, I'm lying. Just roll with me. She hates me. It's okay. Fortunately, I'm used to it. She really loves me, but she hates me. Okay. Let's take another big step backward. Okay, so taxpayers have funded 70% of the construction cost of the stadiums in which the NFL teams play, for which they receive a return of pennies on the dollar. Again, let me point out, this is not capitalism. This is fascism. This is statism. This is not capitalism. This is not market. This is democracy. Okay, let me go back to reading. And it's just more, it's more bullshit. But again, this is the, just listen to this and listen to the fucking statism and the stupidity. But consider the economic impact if taxpayers were to receive 70% of the profits generated by those facilities. Notice he doesn't say, consider what it would look like if taxpayers weren't forced to pay for this in the first place. Right? Nowhere in here is he interested in just eliminating the part where taxpayers are forced to pay for stadiums. All right. But consider the economic impact if taxpayers were to receive 70% of the profits generated by those facilities. That is, a portion equal to our investment. Given that the NFL is projecting to earn in the neighborhood of $10 billion this season, that amounts to $7 billion from TV, tickets, parking, etc. Again, no stadium means no games. Think about how much social good, oh, the social justice words, $7 billion would do in cities such as Detroit and Cleveland and St. Louis, where bright new stadiums rise above crumbling schools, closed factories, and condemned homes. Okay, the only thing that would do good in Detroit would be a nuclear explosion. And again, these cities should not be saved. These cities should be allowed to die. Again, going into a dying city and trying to save it, that's not market, that's not capitalism, that's statism. That's other people deciding, some group of people deciding this city should be saved. I mean, if people are leaving Detroit en masse, there's probably a fucking reason for that. And dumping a bunch of money in it trying to save it, not a good idea. Or, let's say more conservatively, that cities demanded a 50% share of the profits as rent. Or simply demanded the owners remit to the taxpayers the sum required to build and maintain these stadia. This would still represent hundreds of millions of dollars. This is not some socialist redistribution of wealth scheme. It's not charity. That's Fox News math. This is asking an immensely profitable business to pay investors, taxpayers, our rightful dividend. Yeah, it is, but it's never going to happen because the governments you elected, remember the democracy, the whole voting thing, the politicians you voted for aren't going to do that. The traditional line put forward by boosters is that a sports franchise... Oh, and this is part of why I marked this as needing to be read. The traditional line put forward by boosters is that a sports franchise generates prestige and jobs and economic growth for a particular city. Again, okay, if your city's prestige is linked to a football team, this is why I fucking, like, when I see, again, I have lots of criteria for why I will disqualify women as being somebody that I would want to be friends with or have a relationship with or even put my cock inside of. One of them is wearing sports apparel. If your fucking ego is attached to a football team, there's something wrong with you. Okay, that to me is a sign of fucking worthlessness. So yes, and he's right. These arguments are put forward by these fucking rich people who want governments to pay for their new stadiums. Well, it'll bring prestige to your city to have an NFL team here. No, it doesn't. If your city gets its prestige from an NFL team, then your city fucking sucks. And yes, they say it's going to bring economic growth and jobs. No, as I've said before, building a stadium does not create jobs. Because you always hear that, oh, we're going to build a stadium and it's going to create jobs. The only jobs that are going to be created, it's not creating jobs at the upper level because they're going to bring in, the owner of the football team is going to bring in the people he wants to do that. The only jobs that are going to be created are literally, you know, janitors and people who work the concession stands and people who work the ticket booths. It's not like you build a stadium and you create jobs for engineers and doctors and nurses. You're just creating jobs for people who punch tickets and clean toilets. You're not going to revitalize a city with the jobs created by a stadium. It's bullshit. Yeah, again, Steve Almond is pointing out legitimate problems. He just has no fucking clue where they come from. He's pointing out legitimate bullshit. But what he doesn't recognize is this bullshit is not just spewed only by the owners of the teams. This bullshit about how the stadium will bring prestige and jobs and economic growth is also spewed by the politicians. Oh, where did the politicians come from? Oh, God damn it! Democracy again! Fuck! How do we keep getting back to democracy? I can't figure it out. Where was I? It would be more accurate to characterize teams as parasites on the local economy. They suck money from the local tax bases, then send the gigantic profits generated by these expenditures back to the league office for distribution to the owners. Again, he's absolutely right. He has identified the problem. Think about how insane our cultural priorities are that we're allowing so much money to be siphoned from the public till. Notice he's not going to say, think about how insane we are that there is such a thing as a public till. Again, look, I'm sorry to just point out reality, but stupid people have money so that it can be taken away from them by smarter people. He says it's a bad thing for the NFL to get taxpayer money. Yet, he isn't able to take that the next step further and recognize that if there were no taxes, there would be no tax money for the NFL to take. Again, how do you solve the problem? You don't solve the problem by sucking Obama's cock. You don't solve the problem by whining like a little girl. You don't solve the problem by having small penis issues like Steve Almond does. You want to eliminate the abuse of tax money. Eliminate tax money. If there is no money collected in the form of taxes, the tax money can't be given to corporations, can it? But see, that's way too radical. In the sense of what the word radical actually means, radical means to the roots, to change things at the source. People like to pretend they know what the word radical means. But we can't do that because we're so obsessed with statism and with collecting taxes and redistributing wealth that as a statist, he cannot see the problem here is not capitalism, it's not the market. The reason taxpayers' tax money is abused in the first place is because the tax money is collected in the form of taxes. Eliminate the taxes, you don't have this problem anymore. Think about how insane our cultural priorities are that we're allowing so much money to be siphoned from the public till and funneled directly into the private koi ponds of the nation's wealthiest families. This arrangement isn't even capitalist, it's feudal. Okay, once again, he's getting it right. He still doesn't understand how to solve it. Please try to imagine, if you would, what other industry could perpetuate such financial chicanery and still be considered a model corporate citizen. Well, I can tell you what industry does that. Military-industrial complex spends billions and billions of dollars on ways to kill people and destroy things. And all you hear, especially now that Obama's the president and war is okay, is support the troops. They're fighting for our freedom. This is not a matter of politics, by the way. Conservatives who railed against government debt and liberals who lament the decline of social services should be equally outraged. Yes, they should, but as I pointed out before, conservatives are not actually interested in smaller government. They just say that in order to get elected by stupid people who actually think conservatives are in favor of smaller government. Just like liberals say they're opposed to corporations, when in fact we know that nothing could be further from the truth. Better yet, they should recognize their loyalty to the NFL is what makes this ongoing confidence game possible. We are the ones who give the league its tremendous leverage over politicians. We shouldn't be surprised that it uses this as leverage. That's what capitalists do. Again, we're back to attacking capitalism. Again, I'm pointing out, no, what the NFL is doing is not capitalism. What could be said is, yes, when he says that the NFL uses its fans as leverage over the politicians, yes, because the fans are stupid people. The people who run the NFL, they may be rich, they may be evil, they may be assholes, but they're clearly not stupid because they're smart enough to know how to use the stupid people who vote, thank you democracy, to manipulate the politicians in order to get more money. Again, the smart people are taking money away from the stupid people. That's how it works. You don't solve this by screaming, "Ew, capitalism is yucky." You solve this by number one, being smarter, by number two, getting rid of the state, which is the mechanism by which the corporation, known as the NFL, can even exist, the mechanism by which it is a tax-exempt corporation, the mechanism by which taxpayer money is first of all collected, then second of all redistributed in a Marxist form to the corporation known as the NFL. Page 79. Yeah, I did say that. I lied. Hold on. Look, do you want this to be four parts long? I don't want it to be four parts long. Yeah, that's what I thought, honey. Page 79 to page 80. All right, here we go. But that's not quite right. Because fans form long-term relationships with their teams. The Browns started playing in Cleveland in 1945, for instance. They won 8 championships in their first 2 decades, then earned a zealous following. This did not stop owner Art Modell from announcing in the middle of the 1995 season he was moving the team to Baltimore, itself abandoned by the Colts dozens of years earlier. Modell inked this deal the day before voters approved a plan that had been put on the ballot at his request to revamp Cleveland Municipal Stadium for $175 million. Again, democracy. The voters approved, says right here, the day before, voters approved a plan. $175 million to revamp the stadium. Democracy. Democracy. That is not market. That is not capitalism. That is democracy. The voters themselves approved a plan to take money away from people and give it to this rich person in the form of a subsidy of revamping the stadium. Again, a capitalist market society fucking Modell would have to find his own fucking money to revamp the stadium, which he would have had to have found his own money to fucking buy it. He would have had to sell lemonade, whatever. But he wouldn't have been able to just take the money away from taxpayers via democracy. During the Browns' final home game, fans set fire in the stands, heaved rows of empty seats onto the field, and tore bathroom sinks from the walls. Again, there's the voting population showing their intelligence. But Modell was merely following the rules of the modern NFL cartel. By moving to a new city desperate for football, he secured a brand new stadium worth $220 million, with taxpayers picking up $200 million of the tab, where the newly minted Baltimore Ravens could play rent-free for 30 seasons, with Modell keeping every cent from tickets, parking, naming rights, concessions, and the sale of 108 luxury boxes and 7,500 club seats. Again, all of that happened because democracy, because of the state, because the politicians made that deal with him and funded it with money taken from the taxpayers by force. There's no market here. There is no capitalism here. This is statism. This is democracy. Modell used the proceeds from personal seat license, fans who pay for the right to buy tickets. I have no idea how the fuck that even works. I've never heard of that before, but it sounds... Again, if stupid people have money and you can take it from them, you're smarter than they are. That's how this works. To build a $15 million training facility and cover his moving and legal fees. Spurned Cleveland fans filed more than 100 lawsuits against him. Within a few years, his team, purchased in 1961 for $3.9 million and valued at $163 million before departing Cleveland, was worth $600 million. Again, legitimate problems being identified. Problem is not capitalism. Crony capitalism, yeah. Fascism, allegiances between government and corporation, yeah. There's no capitalism in sight here, none at all. All right, Randy, play the music. Let's take a break. We'll come back and wrap this up.